Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And we are here with you on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication with Dr. Pat Allen. I want to remind you the call-in number is 323-203-0815. Last week we had a lot of callers we didn't get to. I hope you'll get a chance to call us back tonight. Until then, Dr. Allen.
I'm going to be more precise. We're going to get more people on.
No, you're wonderful. We do what we do, and they can call back. Here's what we've got going on. The One Institute, a nonprofit, C3PO, great 501c3PO, brings us here to be with everybody each and every week. It's so exciting. You can hear us on LA Talk Radio on different days. You can always tap into the archives and listen to all our own shows. But if you want to talk to us, you only get to talk to us on Thursday and be in the hot seat with Dr. Pat Allen. Dr. Pat.
Yes.
You've been doing some really amazing groups lately. How are you loving that?
I love it. I love this whole program. We've been doing it about, well, this new style of things we're doing is about 3 months old, but I really like being in service. That's what I do for a living and a loving.
There we go. Well, guess what? We've got a caller. Caller, you are live with Dr. Pat Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Thank you so much. I'm so happy you guys are here and available and in service for all of us. Is immensely helpful. So my question is, I sent a hi bye letter, and then we met up and went for a walk. And at the end, he said we should get the dogs out real soon. And so I didn't know if after that is
get the what? I didn't. Week? Did you say gods?
Dogs, like a D-O-G-S. D like a dog.
Oh, dogs. You,
yeah.
You normally walk dogs with him?
Yeah, we both have dogs that we used to walk everywhere
okay,
together.
Okay, so dogs are your reason to tear. Okay. So that doesn't sound like, were you thinking of doing, where did you go?
Yeah, I didn't know if that applied or if it was weight. He has 8 weeks to sync up, to reach out again and say, okay, let's walk the dogs.
That's what he's got to do, because this is a unique, I've done this for a while, and nobody's okay. ever said this one, so creativity is important. So, no, I don't think, in a normal, where did you go, he dates you to on the phone or personally or physically, whatever. And as he's leaving, he says, this was fun. We've got to do this again soon.
Uh-huh.
And yes. And that gives you reason within a couple of days of not hearing from him to reach out to him if you can in some form that he's given you and say, we had a good time. You said you would call me back and we would do it again or some soon. Where did you go? So it doesn't fit the criteria.
Apply. Oh, it doesn't.
So I wouldn't respond, or it's going to be a training program for Mother of the Year.
So I sit in wait for him to reach, even though he said that's the where did you go doesn't apply.
Doesn't apply to this thing. Your job now is passive, patient, and vulnerable to his leadership.
Okay.
Okay.
I've got 8 more weeks to go for a walk.
Yes, you do.
Got it.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Good. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Welcome.
Thank you, Papa. All right. Let's see what our switchboard has for us. See what our call lineup is looking like. All right, he is getting people in the queue right now. So let's talk about your group, Dr. Allen. Let's talk about what's going on with our groups. We've got two different kinds of groups. We have a five-person ladies group, and we have an elite group, which we run. One month is, oh, you get on the elite group. You can get back in the waiting list. But we do our elite groups just 1 month. Our other groups are continuing and ongoing. You can stay if you want, or you don't have to. We seem to have a lot of repeat people coming back, which is really nice. And it's a lot of fun. But you also do life script appointments and dream appointments.
Yes.
What does a life script appointment entail?
The life script agreement is closer to a counseling session than the classes are.
Uh-huh.
But it's teaching the class the lesson of scripting, which was something that Eric Byrne, creator of International Transactional Analysis Association. Scripting is what happens to everybody, every church, every country, every school. It's a program taught to a younger program member that may or may not fit that person's life. So I recommend that if you want to know about this, there's a wonderful book by the former alive therapist under Eric Byrne, Claude Steiner, and it's called Scripts People Live.
Mm-hmm.
So when I do a script reading, it takes an hour. My daughter Sue sends you a copy of the...
Hello,
I think I've got a darling person on the phone.
Yeah, you do, Dr. Allen. Yes, indeed. Go ahead, caller, with your question.
Hi. Yes. So I have a question. I am so confused. A very masculine man went on two dates with me, and his behavior is very confusing. So the first date he went on with me, it was the first day we ever saw each other. It was an online date, and it was incredible. Energy was off the charts. Chemistry was off the charts. We kissed, which felt like for hours. Then the second date, he was very, very self-controlled. And he told me, he was like, look, and between the dates we talked and communicated, and he said that what happened on that first date, he said, it's never happened to me before in my life. I've never reacted to anybody this way ever, right away. And on the second date, he said, look, I want to take it slow. I need to be more in control. What does this mean?
What this means was, he was turned on chemically to you, your body, mm-hmm. your mind, and your spirit, and he felt out of control. That's why men fall in love. Women are already in love, if they're healthy, with themselves. Remember,
yes.
Women get what they want by knowing what they don't want. So this human being was stunned by his chemical response to you. And so he wanted to get back into his harness, and he did. He made a decision. He's probably right-handed, which means he has a smaller bridge between the right and the left lobe, and therefore he just felt emotionally out of control. And he probably is in his 50s, would you think?
No, 41.
Okay, so he's not even periandropause. He was really spooked by his reaction to you. It was a pleasant one, but it stunned him because he felt out of control. So your job is passive, patient, and vulnerable to his leadership.
That's what I'm doing, yes. And in between, so he texted me every day, very, very, very nice text, and, you know, in the morning, good morning, how are you? We talked, and then on week three, he still hasn't asked me out. It was 3 weeks between our first date.
I've got news for you. He's got 8 weeks between contacts to ask you out.
No, he contacted me every day. Uh-huh, okay. So what I did then, I said, I'm like, okay, it's been 3 weeks, and it was starting to get so uncomfortable to not see him. So I used your tools, and I wrote him a text, answered his text, and I said, look, I want to ask you a question. And he said, yes. And I said, I so much appreciate getting your texts. However, I would feel so much better if we had more sensual form of communication. What do you think about that?
You mothered him. I think that was very masculine.
It was? Didn't I use? But I used your...
It was very masculine. Both of you were chemically attracted to each other, and you stepped up to him and asked him for a date.
No, I didn't ask him for a date. I just asked him to, I said talking would be better than texting. I would feel much better with talking than texting. No, I didn't ask him for a date at all.
Okay, you asked him for a want.
Yeah, yes. Oh, yeah, that is,
I've got news for you. That was too close to a date. You did help him feel secure that you would end up giving him what he wanted without him even extending himself for it. I don't want you to do that. You have the right to be masculine. I have no problem with women being the leader or men being the followers, the feminine. But I didn't know you wanted to do that.
No, I don't. And, well, with him, I can't. He's very masculine. Very masculine.
Okay.
So it's wonderful for me.
Let's hope that this minor slip, it wasn't a big one, this minor slip will in fact trigger him into feeling safe enough to step forward and act more like he's falling in love with you.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. So
well,
just passive, patient, vulnerable.
You're calling me for critiquing, and I'm doing it.
No, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Because, yes,
good,
I really, really
good.
Like him. I don't want to screw this up.
Okay, good.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so very
good.
Much.
Surely. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Welcome.
Bye.
Okay. Oh, that was you saying thank you, Kelly?
I'm saying thank you. She was saying that. We're all saying thank you. So
okay.
the script that people have, that people live, is really written by other people. The people that influence your life, your clergy, your parents, your sisters, brothers.
Yes. It's what they're training you to be because they say it's right.
Mm-hmm.
They're parenting you without the rights to parent you.
Right. And sometimes...
The first 3 years in a child's life, the energy exhibited by the mom and dad, men for their daughters, women for their sons, is nonverbal. Babies under three don't really know how to communicate with words that well. But starting at three... Words become, don't do that, do it this way, whatever.
Right.
That's scripting. And what happens is, if you're one temperament, and I think I want to mention that, Myers-Briggs test, there's a book called Please Understand Me by Marilyn Bates and David Kiersey.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically talks about the 16 born into you the day you're born, and there, since you were conceived, this is your biological script, which includes your brain, which is being scripted on. You're learning words. Previous to three, it's feelings. They like you or they don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
But from three on, it's words. Do this and don't
right.
do that.
And
so
Gepurim
I read your script. What?
Oh, yeah, I know. Your script readings are amazingly enlightening. And Gabor Mate says we can even start to be scripted in utero.
Yes.
Before birth, would you agree with that? The stress of the mother.
We are scripted by cultures, religions, politics. We're being scripted pretty good right now.
We sure are.
But what I do is I read the script according to Freud, according to Carl Jung, according to I Ching, according to whatever I am interested in, which is everything. So I help you understand, and I refer you to books to read, and I already gave you the one, Scripts People Live by Claude Steiner, is extremely mm-hmm. palatable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. And so you do another type of session, too, about dreams. You are a master reader of dreams and dream analysis.
I've had a wonderful teacher in a book, and the book's name, I'm going to give you two books, in fact. One was written by my student, my protege in dreams, Patricia Eltage, and her book is called Dream Class. But
yes.
when I started, and all these years, I've been doing this 50 years, all of this time, I have been using a book called, I'm digging it up right now. Let's see. Why is it that when you want something, it's the one thing that you can't find?
I don't know, but that happens all the time.
Anyway, if you go to Patricia Eltage's book, you're going to get me and she in the classification of dreams. The other book came a long time before her and a long time basically before me, and I incorporated it in what I've learned in the 50 years that I've been doing this. So with that in mind.
So you really want people to set their alignment and to open their eyes.
The dream. Right. Well, setting the alignment is something not particularly only for dreams. Setting your alignment is, now I can definitely tell you about that book because I laid my eyes on it. The book is called Subliminal.
How your
Unconscious Mind Rules Your Behavior by Leonard Mlodinow, Mlodinow. Now, this book is readable, not too heavy-duty intellectual, and it tells you what your subconscious and your conscious mind must do. But here's the scientific background. Everything I teach is grounded in some form of science.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do that, you might want to get the magazine Science, and it's put out by the American Association for the Advancement of Science.
Yes.
Which is a marvelous scientific book. So,
yeah.
And with that in mind, reading your dreams, I've combined all the things that I've learned in I Ching and others. In other words, we're all scripted in different ways by different schools, different classes, different teachers. And that goes for me, too. So with that in mind, if you're interested in your dreams, either look up Patricia Eltage, and she can read dreams for you, or you can
contact Sue for an appointment with you. Right. info@drpatallen.com via email.
And
hey, we have a caller, Dr. Pat.
The Mystical, Magical, Marvelous World of Dreams by Wilda, W-I-L-D-A-B, Tanner. This is the
Perfect.
Book that trained me.
Awesome. Hey, we've got a caller. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, Dr. Pat. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm fine. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thanks for your help.
What are you calling for?
I'm calling regarding myself and my husband. We've been married for almost 9 years. And
congratulations.
Thank you. I have to say, honestly, we're having a good marriage, but we have two young kids. And it's just so hard I feel like we have been very distant, but not because we're having problems, but because we're both so busy with kids, work, new home. We're overwhelmed, and I think we're getting a little distant.
Do you have a meeting weekly or biweekly or monthly in which you go over time, space, money, and play issues?
No.
Have you read Staying Married and Loving It by me?
Yes.
Okay.
I have.
Okay.
I need to do that. I did that at the beginning of our marriage, and then now I just don't have time to read and remind myself.
I got news for you. That's like saying I don't have time to go to the bathroom. I think I'll just go right here on the floor.
Yep,
Does that give you
the agree.
Picture of what you're saying to me?
Yeah.
Every night, I want you to set your lineman. The lineman is 3 to 4 minutes between conscious and unconscious. It's while you're falling asleep and while you're waking up. Now, when you're falling asleep, I want you already to have written down on a piece of paper with a pen or an ink or a felt tip, whatever. I want you to write it. 3 things that you look forward to tomorrow for fun. I don't care what it is, as long as it's moral, ethical, and legal. And 3 things you want to do, you intend to do to be more productive, either with your home or your car or whatever, your schooling. I want you to write those down, because that intentional statement, especially using writing, which carries the energy in your hand. In other words, when you really want something, your body's going to let that piece of paper know what it is. So the interesting thing is, when you start to wake up in the morning, keep your eyes closed so that you can capture your dream screen. Because that's what's coming up from your unconscious, and your lineman is what's going down to your unconscious, so that you have a lesson plan for tomorrow. And your instincts and your intuition will help you spot helpful things, like you'll remember a name, or you'll see something that will remind you of something you want. Anyway, there is a lot of living going on while you're sleeping. And not to be able to sleep right is bad dream and bad thinking, feeling, planning. So I'm wanting you to start using your sleep as a place to start scripting yourself to get things done happy and to get things done productively.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely practice that.
And have a meeting with your husband. How often? How often do you want to meet with him about time issues, space issues, chores, maintenance, cars, whatever? Money issues, mine, yours, and ours, play, sexual and non-sexual. You can't run any business without having meetings. Do you want to be the head of the meeting group? Are you wanting respect more than cherishing?
No, I want more cherishing.
Then perhaps you need to ask for it in a respectful way.
That's actually one of the problems I'm having, is that I feel like, you know, my husband's not like very affectionate person. He never has been. Like, he's very nice, very sweet always, never mistreats me. But, you know, when...
Maybe he does not have a high level of libido drive.
What's that
is the energy for sexuality. Did you make love to him before you married him?
Yes.
Okay. Was it the way you want it now?
Was it or is it?
No, was it at that time? Has your marriage unraveled sexually?
I mean, like I said, we have...
Do you make love once a week?
No.
He doesn't ask or you don't say yes?
Both. He doesn't ask, I don't ask. Like I said, we have jobs, we have kids, we're tired.
What I'm hearing is you're overbooked and you're using your overbooking as an excuse to let bad habits create bad chemistry. Are you willing at least twice a month to have a meeting and go over time alone by yourself without him, time with him, time with him plus social? How many kids do you have?
Two.
Okay. You know, marriage is a business. And lawyers like to participate. I want you to remember that you are in charge of your plan. Teachers have to have lesson plans. You see? Countries have to have plans for its goals and objectives. But for whatever reason, you and your husband are neglecting your marriage contract. Are you willing to let yourselves fall out of love?
Yeah, we definitely don't want to, but it seems like it's happening.
That's because you're not expressing your pain about it happening. Do you know my tools?
I have read your book, Beginning to I Do and Staying Married right. and Loving It, but like I said, it's been some time, so I need to go back to it.
I think you should tell the tools, Dr. Pat.
What?
I think you should explain the tools, Dr. Pat.
The tools?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give you the major tools that will keep you in touch with each other. Do you want them?
Yes.
Okay. One tool is, do you want to be respected, cherished, or cherish respected?
I want to be cherished.
Okay, then are you willing to ask him what he wants, what he thinks, his opinions? What does he say to you when you ask him for his masculine leadership, which you would respect, and respect would turn you on?
Yes, but I mean, I do have opinions too, especially when it's about our kids. When I read stuff, I mean, is that completely wrong?
No, it's not, but it would be beautiful if you would run your plan by him at your parents' meeting, parents, when you do your parenting. Are you keeping notes on the things you're not happy with?
No, I'm not. No.
Well, if you would do that, you could use my tools. Now, number one tool is, if you are speaking to him while he's doing or not doing what you want, you would say, what's his first name? Or what you call, we'll call him Bill. Okay. Bill, I want to talk to you about something that's upsetting me about our parenting the kids. Is it convenient for you to hear me? And when? In order for your husband to feel cherished, he must be respected by you. Are you hearing that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Is your mother the head of the house when you were little?
Yes.
So you've been taught how to be a man in a woman's body.
Yes.
And your husband has been taught to be a woman in a man's body.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever met his mother? Is she masculine or feminine?
Feminine.
Okay. Is he like his mother or his father?
I think like his father.
Okay, is his father a man that leads?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Are you wanting to be the leader in your home?
No, I would rather have the cherish and affection, like receive the affection and be cherished than have the...
I understand that. But what I'm hearing is he is respecting you as the leader. Am I right?
I mean, in certain things, like, no, not everything. Like financial, like certain things, he's on more decision-making, certain things I am. Like I said, kids, it's more he relies on me. Outside and maintenance and home and financial part, it's him. So we've kind of split it where we feel comfortable with it. I don't think he ever feels like I said, yeah, exactly. When he gets to the kids, he usually wants to know, or he wants to ask me like, well, what do you think we should be doing? Because he knows I do more research. I'm more involved. So I don't think he's, you know, bothered
and
by that.
And you do it. You are willing to be a mother to your children.
Yes.
Okay. So your biggest issue is you're not being made love to or cherished.
Right.
That's play. That's non-sexual play and sexual play. Do you date once a week?
You know, we just started. I mean, we've never had anybody to watch over our kids until very recently. So after 3 years, we went on a date maybe a month ago.
Now,
outside of our house.
Will you please ask that include making love once a week?
Yes.
Once a week making love on a date is almost a guarantee that you will survive as lovers.
Wow, okay.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
So are you willing, now that you're free to have a babysitter, would you please, this is the second tool. The first tool is always ask him what he thinks and wants and what you can do to help him do it. The second tool is you ask permission, honey, I want to talk about boundaries in our relationship now that we're freed enough to date once a week. Is it convenient for you to take the time? When would it be for us to talk about our date per week? What would he say?
I think he would very much like that. And we both said it would be nice to, we both said that that's something that's lacking from our relationship is the quality time that we can spend together. So I know that he would be looking forward to it too.
Therefore, are you willing to discuss your sex life and your date life as part of this new way of living, which is already, God help it, starting?
Yes, and, but am I out of line to say after being married for so long, I don't know, is once a week like a lot?
No, once a week.
I feel bad for saying that, but.
Once a week is the standard minimum for people that are open to sexuality. Now, if somebody's a drunk and if somebody weighs 500 pounds, that can't happen because the people are not taking care of their body. Are the two of you healthy enough and in shape enough to make love once a week? You can make love to him 1 week and he can make love to you the next week. I'm telling you that organizing time, I, we, and us time, chores, how you live together, money, my money, your money, our money, how does it go through, who runs it, sounds like your husband does, and then play, non-sexual play, which is like you play tennis, or you bowl, or you go swimming together. Sexual play, standard minimum, is once a week. That's standard minimum. So, can you make love once a week?
Yeah, we're gonna have to work on that. Yep.
On your date night.
Yep.
See, what you're saying, we're too busy to make love. We're too busy to do these things. Well, if you're too busy to do these things, don't be surprised if the marriage will go away. Do you want your marriage to go away?
No, I don't.
What I'm hearing is you married very young. How old were you?
When I got married, then?
How old were you when you got married?
26.
Okay, and he was?
Yeah. And he was 36.
Okay. Are you willing to take care of your responsibilities as a couple where you respect him and ask him what he wants and negotiate and live by things and see if that doesn't help. And the tool you do is, step number one is, honey, I want to have a meeting once a week with you about our relationship, about if there's anything bothering you or me, we bring it up and negotiate a deal. What do you think about that? You make an appointment for the subject, the topic, and then keep the agreements until at least that week. And the third major tool is body language. Can you tell when your husband's upset by his body language?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is what you say to him, honey. I sense by the way you're sitting, I sense by the look on your face, I think that by your body language that you're upset about something. Am I right? Yes or no? I don't want to talk about it. You have every right not to want to talk about it, but that tells me you're upset about something. And I really care about that. Are you willing to tell me so we can work it out? What you people are doing is you're parenting your kids, you're living your individual lives, but you're neglecting your partnership.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So, but I love it that you're dating once a week. Love it.
We're just starting after 3 years.
Was that a positive statement or a negative statement?
That was a negative statement, I know, but, you know.
Okay. Are you willing to rejoice in the fact that you've started negotiating because you found a babysitter?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's an act of God, so there. So we've got that going. Now you can start bringing up subjects respectfully. Make appointment for the topic and then tell what you're uncomfortable with. Ask him for what you want and ask him what he thinks about it and what you can do to help you and he do it.
Absolutely. Okay. That sounds good. That sounds good.
Good. Yeah. All right, so try it, and if that doesn't, call me back, and I'll tell you some more.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you so much, Dr. Pat.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Paula.
Thank you. Okay, have a good one. Bye-bye.
You, bye-bye. Well, I wish her good luck, and I think it's great that she's making positive strides by having a weekly date night. I think it's important. I think sometimes when we get in a relationship, I know that when I was in my marriage, we forgot to make time for each other's special, and it was detrimental in the long run. Hi, caller, you're live with Dr. Pat. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Pat. Hi, Kelly. I missed that.
What is your question?
Oh, okay. Prior to the pandemic, I was a regular dancer, and I met my ex dancing. And right now I'm debating whether or not to go back into dancing. I don't want to run into him. I don't want to see him. There's a good chance I won't because he lives 2 hours away.
Ooh, that's good.
But I'm also just feeling mixed. Like, I kind of just... Like, I know the community, and I kind of just don't. I'm just totally torn about whether or not to go back into, maybe I should do some other dance entirely or not dancing at all. So that's what I'm calling about, like, how to decide
The way I have people decide things is, if it was right now, this moment, would you vote for or against the out-of-town bans?
I don't feel any energy to go, but I'm wondering if that's a reason to push myself.
Pushing yourself is being a man. Women are built with their chemistry, with their brain structure. Women are built to feel good, to do good. So women do better when they say no to what they don't feel good about. Men get what they want by knowing what they want and going after it. Women get what they want by knowing what they don't want and not tolerating it.
Okay, so far nothing sounds at all compelling enough to get me off the couch, out of the house. So,
are you depressed? I was listening to a therapist on TV, and they were saying the biggest problem now is the depression of loneliness.
I do feel lonely, and I do feel like...
But what are you doing? Are you going to church? Are you going to a class? Are you going to a self-help meeting?
Yeah, I do Zoom meetings. I do Zoom meetings in communities. Zoom?
That's good. That's the beginning. Do you do anything with people? Do you go swimming?
Yeah.
Do you play? What?
Nothing in person so far.
But that is what. Do you understand your body feels your loneliness?
Yeah, and that's why I feel like the only way I'll get out of the house is if I push myself, but I would rather
you would inspire yourself by knowing what new activities are you interested in exploring. Are you setting your Lyman at night, three things for fun tomorrow and three things to produce something? Are you setting your Lyman?
Yes, I'm very good about doing the productive things.
And are you doing it now?
Yes. I keep a daily journal of things that I'm doing.
No, dear. I'm talking about setting your Lyman before you go to sleep about what you plan and intend to do tomorrow.
Yeah, I do that every... The day before, like, I'll consider things that I'm going to do tomorrow. I have a list. But I struggle with the social fun stuff. Nothing comes to mind about that, like being in a fun social environment.
Because we've all been in lockdown.
Yeah.
They've lifted a lot of lockdown. Are you flowing...
Right.
Are you going along with the flow?
I'm willing to get back out socially, but I don't feel excited about going out. The only way I'll go out is if I push myself, because I don't know if I'm in a comfort zone or if I'm just not feeling happy enough about going out.
Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
Are you flirting?
I'm doing duty dating online.
And where are you getting them?
Pretty much entirely from Bumble, the online dating.
Okay.
App.
All right, that's the female one. So you are pursuing men on Bumble.
Well, I send them a smiley face. Yeah.
That's how you do it on Bumble.
Right. And I've gone on several dates and I've talked with lots of guys.
And you don't respond? You don't feel the chemistry?
I do. There's been a couple guys I like, but I haven't heard back from the very few that I did like. They haven't called me back.
Okay. So what you're saying is you're lonely. And it is becoming depressing.
Yes.
Are you belonging to a social or a religious group? Are you with a group doing anything?
Yeah, I do online Zoom meetings like Al-Anon. I'm in your weekly group also.
But I want you to understand that self-help groups are not designed to play. What are you playing with people? Do you belong to a bike club? Do you go dancing?
No. Yeah, and I'm not doing any of that, which is the whole point of my calling you, is I don't feel
well,
any...
Then you are writing it down on your iPad? You're writing it down at night on your commitment to tomorrow?
No, I
are
haven't
you simply...
been doing... I just
How come?
Don't feel like...
All right, say it. I don't feel good about what?
Nothing sounds fun to do socially.
That's called depression.
I used to very much enjoy tango dancing, and so I'm wondering if I should go back to that, even though my ex there. And
why would you not go back to it?
There was a lot of, I don't know. I feel like there's no, I know the dating pool in that community, and it's not, nothing feels available, like, I don't know. I feel like there's very limited options with the dating pool in that community.
Well, for what reason? Are they going depressed too?
Well, no, I feel like there's 10 women for every man and a lot of the guys that I do feel like seem like good guys are happily married. They're in relationships already. And then the ones that are not seem like they just want to play around with as many people. They want a harem.
I understand that what they want is no responsibility.
Yes.
When men commit, they take on responsibility. When women commit, they give up a lot of independence. What I'm hearing you're giving up is your right to be an individual. You've got to be an I to be a we to be an us. I want you to think of things that you've ever done or you've never had to do or you might want to do now that might inspire you. Otherwise, I think you better talk to your... Do you have a gynecologist?
No.
Okay, because you're sounding like you're letting yourself be depressed without doing anything about it.
Okay, so...
Because you're saying I should push myself.
Right.
Okay, let's write your lineman right now. It's okay. 5 to 5. What three things do you want to think about experiencing tomorrow? You want to flirt? What do you want to do?
it would be nice to be, even be in an environment where there's attractive men. That would be nice.
Well, there's a what? Like a, men, what I, was it?
It would be nice to be around just even some attractive men. Men I find attractive.
Okay.
Be in an environment. Yeah. But well, I can't.
Men go to church, men go to stores, men go to sports events. Are you going where men go?
Yeah, I work in a place where there's a lot of men. And
do you flirt with them, eyeball to eyeball, smile to smile?
Yeah, and often they're super helpful with me and friendly towards me. So that's
and
nice.
How do you respond?
I enjoy it. I enjoy their being friendly with me and their helpfulness towards me. I like it. So I.
But
that's
when you started reporting your situation, I didn't hear this story.
Well, that's work. It's not like going out to dance or anything. Like right now, that's where I'm getting my social connections is that work.
I want you to understand that wherever you get it, you're not getting married on that moment. You are simply sharing your humanity at work.
Right.
Would you please really flirt tomorrow?
I don't know if I'm doing it well, and I'm not sure I want to do it at work more real aggressively, but.
Okay. I'm just talking about when you're walking down to the lunchroom, when you're going to the bathroom.
Yeah, I do that. I'm super friendly, and they're super friendly with me, usually.
Are you willing to be flirtatious tomorrow?
I won't be working tomorrow. I work today, but yeah, I'm willing. Whenever
okay.
I'm there, I'm...
What will you do tomorrow that would perhaps give you a chance to flirt? Would you go to church? Would you go to a sports event?
If I knew of any social place, I would go, but the only thing I know of is Tango, my old dance community, and that's why I'm questioning if I should go there or somewhere new.
Why not?
I'm worried about getting in a relationship like the last one I had with my ex, who was a dancer. There's a lot of men like him there.
I want you to understand that you can call this program or other people like me that will assist you in having faith that there are good people all over the place. The secret is to flirt with them so they know that you're looking for fun.
Okay.
It's called
all
presenting.
Right. Yeah, I'm doing my best. I enjoy it at work, but I would love another social venue other than work to, like, meet guys and enjoy their, I don't know.
Dancing is one. Sports is another. You see?
Okay, then I have to look up those things because I'm not aware of where to go.
Bike clubs are good things. People join bike clubs to ride bikes on Sunday.
Okay. I'll
the point
I'll
is...
Golf clubs, tennis clubs, places like that, depending on what you're interested in. Even
okay.
My tiny town has a golf course.
Yeah. Golf sounds a little out of my price range likely, and I know nothing about golf, so I kind of don't want to invest in something that
I'm going to need a lot of understanding.
But there's also meetups and hiking, walking.
Yeah, walking sounds great. But and even hearing all these things, it definitely feels like I have to push myself to do it, because I'm like, I don't know, it sounds more comfortable just to stay in the house.
Then feel free to stay in the house, but enjoy it.
Okay. All right, Dr. Pat. Thank you.
Good luck.
All right. Bye.
Thank you, caller. Good luck. I'm not sure that it's pushing yourself so much as just getting out there. I think sometimes it's intimidating, but once you get out there and you're going for a walk or a little stroll through the woods, it's really
I'm taking that therapist that was on the phone seriously. Loneliness may be causing us a lot of trouble.
I agree. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hi.
I think I know your answer, but I might need a refresher on it. And it's maybe
okay.
A little version.
Go ahead.
And it may be a little version of the previous caller there.
She reminds me of what I heard from a professional saying one of the big problems is people are getting very depressed from loneliness.
Mm-hmm. So my thing is when I go since COVID and, you know, now, I do go socialize. I do take myself out to play. And I'm running into feelings of discomfort because since this time, there's been changes between me and some of my very good friends and groups of friends, and where I start to feel that I don't fit or can't do the same things. And sometimes it's because of a bigger discrepancy in discretionary income. And even though they always include me and I always go, so I don't know yet. I still feel a less than. And then I go and I'm playful and I said, you can leave at any time. Yet it still comes up. And so I want to know if you have any communication strategies how to manage this. So if certain things come up where I can't afford it, you know, it just doesn't work for me, I have more ease and grace with saying thanks, no thanks.
What I'm thinking of is every night setting your Lyman and take into account changes, doing different things.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, our lockdowns culturally this past year have been horrendously impacting.
Mm-hmm.
So take a look at your phone book at the different categories of phones. You are doing exactly what the lady before you is doing. You're saying, I'm bored stupid. What can I do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where scripting comes in. It's, do you get into a self-help group? You see? A meetup, something where everybody's
right.
In a bad place. And you've got to inspire each other to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Like take a dance class.
Mm-hmm.
Or take
that
up...
Mm-hmm.
What?
No, I... That's why I said I think I needed a reminder, because some of the people I have worked with in my bubble, I said, it's not inspiring to me. Some of our activities are too much the same old routine, and I don't feel inspired. And yes, I get a little bit bored. And then And then somebody says, well, let's do this. And I go, oh, great. It's something different. And it's, you know, and then that's inspiring. So then it becomes fun and playful again, you know.
Well, then perhaps what you need to do you have any friends?
Yeah, I do.
Could you and your friends have think tanks?
Mm-hmm.
That you gather together for a cup of tea on Saturday afternoon or whatever, and you talk mm-hmm. about, because we're coming out of this dark period. Remember, the illness drove us to panic.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are unlocked, and we are back to, oh, we're normal. Well, normal still needs inspiration, and it needs companionship. But mostly what it needs, for women at least, I don't want to be lonely, and I don't want to be bored. So I'm going to look through the phone book at different activities and see if there's something I am interested in that would, in fact, help me not be lonely or bored.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I see where part of myself keeps myself stuck is I keep going with the same people. I kind of, not always, but have a tendency to not feel inspired by as much as I want to.
Well, if you're with boring people, you're one of them.
Well, okay. Got it. Yeah.
You see?
Yeah, I do.
And remember, change uh-huh. is always scary.
Mm-hmm.
But change is what is needed when boredom and loneliness are setting in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to take a lesson from the person that gave the lecture on loneliness being a major issue in depression. And I'm dealing it with, you're the second person I'm dealing with in this issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I realized too, I said, you know, because part of me would get in, I wish my friends would change. And I go, well, you know how well that's going to go over. And so I said, it's up to me. So I, like I said, I needed a review of what I need to do for me. And yeah, it does feel a little scary. And
well, who's going to do it if you don't?
Nobody. Yeah, you're right.
So, and I want to remind you, do you go to a church?
No, I haven't been since COVID.
Well, yeah, but we're coming out of that. Now we have to think of going places instead of lockdown.
Uh-huh.
And churches are great sources. I mean, not all of them, but great sources of innovation in doing things, whether it's picnics or whether it's galas or whatever, or charity events.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to end up feeling good is to help somebody else feel good.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do.
Mm-hmm. You know what, that whisper came across earlier today and some other time ago, Carrie, I said, you know, I just thought about that. I said, just even make cookies and give them to your neighbor or something. Do something, you know.
That is how people socialize and make friends.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in lockdown too long. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Set your linen at night for pleasure and performance. And performance is masculine, and that's what the last gal said, pushing yourself. That's not pushing yourself. That's setting a standard for performance that might help you feel good.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Thank
you. Good luck, caller. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay. So, switchboard tells me we've got another call coming up. I think you're right, Dr. Pat. I think people are lonely, and I think it's a bit of a relief that things are seeming to go some back, even if it's slowly, toward pre-COVID. Okay. I think you're right. I think people are lonely, and it's hard for people to step back outside of that zone, like pre-COVID. I still think there's a level of fear.
We have been jailed or hospitalized for a long period of time.
Yes. Yeah, we have. Okay, callers. Oh, we have a caller on the line. Caller, you are live with Dr. Allen in the hot seat. Do you have a question?
Hi. Yes, I do. Hello, oh. Dr. Pat Allen. I was actually calling to see if you can give me some guidance with the situation that I'm in right now with might still be my boyfriend. Thank you.
You have a boyfriend for how long?
So officially it was, I think it's 8 months now, although there was a little bit of a breakup in between that.
But you're back together?
Well, I'm sort of left in limbo right now. And so I'm trying to see what I should do, if anything at all. And I wanted to see if you can guide me.
Have you been ghosted? Has he left you?
Yes, it seems that way because today is 1 week. But the last time that we had a conversation, it was a bit confusing to me because after the breakup, which I'm the one who broke up with him, it was an irrational moment.
For what reason? For what reason did you break up with him?
Okay, so the situation was, and this is not typically me, so I am a bit ashamed of this. But I also feel like I was really judged by him, too, during the moment where it was just a bad moment. I was out with some friends, and I had, like, brunch. And so we were drinking, and we had an arrangement for him to come and pick me up at my friend's house to go and have, you know, dinner. When he picked me up, somehow, you know, all of the champagne and the things that we were doing over there just sort of hit me while I was with him. And when we went out, he started to notice that I was becoming different, which I know that you said, like with alcohol, you know, I think we become more masculine.
That is very, very true. Men become feminine and women become masculine. So the man you meet in a bar is not going to be that way the next day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so I've never had a moment like this with him before, but I basically was drunk and it just sort of all hit me at once. And I realize now that it was because we were drinking more on an empty stomach. I'm not a typical person that gets drunk. And he had never seen me like this before. So all of a sudden, during our time together, he was saying that I was sort of like nitpicking him for why he didn't pick a place to eat. Because it was supposed to be my date to take him out, you know, to wherever he'd like to eat. And I don't remember this 100%. I just remember that he was telling me, you know, why are you stuck on me not knowing where to eat? Like, it's not a big deal. And it's not. It's not a big deal. But it was for some reason where my brain got stuck on just asking
if
that.
It is if your feelings have been dulled by the booze and your intellect and is turned on like an electric chair. I can hear what happened. But was it a permanent cancellation of your relationship?
Well, I would like to share with you a little bit more about what happened after that.
Go ahead.
Leading up until right now. Okay. So the next day, because what happened is, no, hold on, I'm jumping the gun. So after that moment of me saying, you know, why are you not, why don't you know of a place and all of this stuff, all I know is that I just remember him telling me, you know what, like, I'm just going to go home. And he sort of like turned around and walked away. And when I saw that,
he
that
left
triggered
you.
Me.
Yeah.
He was about to leave, but the thing is that he actually came to his senses and started to call my phone as I walked away. Like, I went to the restroom. I was, like, you know, very upset and triggered. And I have abandonment issues on top of that. So for me to have him come and pick me up, you know, me depend on him, which I typically don't do, that to me put me in a situation where I just felt really unsafe and I felt really hurt. So I ignored his
messages. So did you terminate
him? I ended up telling him that if you are okay, yes, I did. I said, if you are okay with just leaving me here, you know, under these conditions, you know, without worrying about me, I said, then it's done. Like, I'm over, you know, I'm over this. I
wow.
said, you know, I don't,
so you terminated
I don't want to leave with
That's
you.
Called a hangover.
I've never done this before. So yes, I'm ashamed. And I
when
knew
was the
wrong.
Last time you drank on an empty stomach?
Probably 3 years ago, and that was a bad experience.
But do you understand
well.
That? It
yes.
sounds like you had a bad reaction to a chemical, and you terminated your relationship. Has he called
yes.
you at all?
He called me last Monday. Not this Monday, but last Monday. And this is after the
did
fact.
Did you
like,
answer?
Yes, I did. And I waited for him to sort of, you know, just have his space because he asked for space and he was not happy, of course, and I understood that. So then when he called me, I was
did
prepared for us to have a conversation.
Did he ask to see you? Did he ask to see you?
No, he did not. He actually called me
all
to
right.
tell me that he wasn't doing well. And I said, why are you not doing well? And I was worried that he was actually going to officially break things off. And he shared that he has not been doing good because he lost a friend, another friend. So he has a lot of grief that he has been through, as well as his father and just a bunch of mental health stuff that has been coming up for us. Plus now our situation.
And
too.
Did you happen to say to him, what can I do to help you and I do better
yes.
or feel better?
I didn't say it exactly like that, but I did say, you know, what do you think that you need right now? Is what I said.
Okay, that's close.
And then
close.
He said, I need, okay. And then he said, I just need peace. And I said, okay.
He doesn't need to,
you know,
he doesn't want to fight.
Yes, and I understood that. Now,
but you understand
I got,
that when you're, when you are drinking, do you have any alcoholic mm-hmm. members of your family?
Yes, I do. My father.
Okay. The
and
reason I'm asking that is that if you are genetically predisposed to sensitivity to alcohol, it takes you three times as long to sober up as a normal person who doesn't have that breeding problem.
Mm-hmm.
So you stay madder longer. Men stay bitchier longer. If you're genetically disabled around the issue of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
what
I got
makes
that.
You think that he's coming back?
Well, what I was really confused about is that he called me to tell me, you know, these, I guess like a vulnerable moment for him, right? Like about his feelings and that he was feeling, you know, just like really sad with everything that was happening. And I was sort of confused because he was calling me after we broke up, where I had already apologized and said everything that I could. And he told me, give me some, you know, I
no,
need some space right now.
You didn't say, what can I do to help you and I do better?
Well, I might add that I am a therapist, and so I got a text message from a client during this conversation. It was only like literally like a 7-minute conversation. We couldn't talk very long, and I had like a crisis that I had to let him go. So I told him, you know, I do have to go. I have a situation with a client. Would it be okay for
I
me to
I fully understand
back?
That, but would you please look at your neurobiological ability to metabolize. Do you understand that all you're describing to me is the residual, residual sobriety issues for a person who's allergic? If I were you, I would not drink alcohol because I'm hearing neurobiological allergy.
Well, I typically never have a problem like this. Like I told you, this was like 3 years ago, and it was also on an empty stomach.
I already told you that. I'm telling you that the fact that you had such a serious reaction tells me to tell you that you sound like you're genetically sensitive to alcohol. And this was a bad, this was what we would call in the program, you hit bottom with your inability to be feminine. You're very logical, you're very therapist, but you weren't empathetic.
I understand. I guess for me, so, it didn't feel good. It didn't feel good that I know that I wasn't in a good place. I know that I shouldn't have been drunk like that. But it also made me feel like, why would someone that supposedly loved me be okay with just sort of dumping me there and leaving? Like that.
I'll tell you why. Because you said he lost a friend. Did that mean somebody died?
No, that was after. This is not during that time. He called me after we broke up to tell me about his friend dying, which is why I was left confused, because now it's 1 week later. And he said that he would keep me updated because he had to take time off from work. And he texted me like 3 days later.
I tell you that whenever a man, for whatever reason, pulls away, he's got 8 weeks, and a woman does too, 8 weeks to come back. What is the reason you rejected him on his approach back to you?
I didn't reject him when he called me. It was just I had to go because I had a client situation come up. But he
I understand that, but I would imagine, I imagine, though, it came at the wrong time in his life. Have you made an amends for your problem with him?
We had a conversation over the phone about it.
Did you make amends? Did you assume you're... I don't care if it's over the phone.
Yes, okay, yes. It was over the phone. Yes, I did. I did do that. And then he called.
Okay, so the last thing you've heard from him was a reach out from him to you.
Yes, that was last Monday. And so today is now 1 week since he texted me to tell me he had to take time off from work because he hasn't been himself and because he lost his friend. So he just sort of hasn't been in the right mindset. And that he was
keeping
updated
how his
doctor's
opinion would go. He explained to you why he was acting the way he was acting. Did you not recognize that as his explaining that he knows he's changing?
No, I didn't see it like that. I just saw it.
I know you didn't. You know what? I'm going to tell you. What you heard was your intellect heard factual data, but not empathetic data from you.
Yeah, you're right.
Are you willing to do what he did and call him and tell him about getting drunk on an empty stomach and having a change of temperament that has been affecting you now for a couple of weeks, that you want him to know that you know you're 50% responsible for this breakup?
I am willing to do that, but I've already told him this in one of the phone calls that I'm telling you about. Like, this was like a couple days later we had a phone call.
But your voice, your message to me is fraught with anger. And I know you can't change that because you're mad at him for not overriding your problem. In other words, you didn't do that much bad, and he did a lot bad to you. I hear it. Why can't you be 50-50?
Well, I guess that's why I'm calling, because right now I was thinking that, am I trying to stay in my feminine energy by just not reaching out to him? Because his very last
message
to me was to tell me, I will reach out to you.
There is nothing feminine about your feelings. You are madder than a wet hen. He needs empathy for the death of his friend, his admission to changing, his admission to not being himself. I want you to do the same thing to him based on the person calling and interrupting his call, which gave you a bad opportunity to reject him.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to be 50% responsible for this mutual changing habit, not habit, but problem?
Yes, I am. I'm just scared to push him away because last time he told me...
I don't want you to push him. I want you to practice. I want you to practice now. I am him. Would you please do a run through of what you're going to say to him, please?
Okay. So if I were to call, I would say, hey, how are you doing?
No, you would not mother him. You would not therapist him. You would say, I'm calling you to empathize with you about how I responded to you. The subject matter is you empathizing with his problems that bumped into you and caused you to feel bad. You're making an amends for your 50%. It would sound something like this. I'm calling you because I want to admit something that I'm not happy with on myself. I managed to get myself into a bind with alcohol and an empty stomach last week. And it caused me to not really hear your pain and empathize with you. And I sense that I was too hard on you, and I want to say I've talked to a therapist, and I want you to know I do understand that you've had situations in your life that have caused you to pull away. And I, sadly, pushed you away thinking that you were not cherishing me when in fact I wasn't cherishing you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about what I just said? Was it anything like the truth?
No, I believe that's really good. I have a question, though, and I wanted to know what your opinion is. He's a left-handed man, and I've never
seen
a left-handed
man. So he feels and thinks that totally impacts. Do you understand he's got a larger corpus callosum? He feels and he thinks, and especially if a friend dies and your girlfriend dumps you on the phone to talk to a client, a lot of things happened that he's feeling rejected by. Do you want to build a bridge to him or don't you?
I do. I've been wanting to contact him, but I also wanted to talk to you first to see if I was going to be making a mistake by
I'm telling you that it would be beautiful if you would assume 50% of the responsibility of the bumping along that you and he did.
How do I know that he's in the right mindset to want to talk about us, like as a couple?
Because you're going to make an appointment. I want to say something sensitive to you, sir. Is it convenient for you to listen? You're going to do my tools, just like I always teach.
Okay.
make an appointment for a sensitive transaction and make it a sensitive transaction. And what is the question? Honey,
is it normal for him to be so sensitive, like being a left-handed man? I've never dated
darling,
a man that is this
it's
sensitive.
It's normal for a man who's with a lady that is sobering up off of a three-year-later binge. I'm telling you, your masculinity is very apparent, and I'm attributing it to a chemical jarring of your system with alcohol. Alcohol is a drug. If you took a bottle of Xanax, you'd have a reaction too. I'm hearing a drunken reaction. When women drink, they become masculine, and you are showing all lines of masculinity, judgmental, angry, resistant, rejecting. I'm asking you if you want to assume responsibility for your drunk that caused you to act negatively masculine.
I do, and I would.
Only you.
I will.
What was your question?
I'm just trying to figure out, like, back in February, we had another blow up, and he was sick. And so, you know, he's a bit unhealthy as far as, like, being overweight. And so
okay,
he has a trauma
now,
with also death.
What you're
and all
telling
of that.
Me
he
is he's overweight.
He pulled away again. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he is.
How much weight has he put on?
I believe he's just been the same weight since I met him. Like, he lost weight, and then he gained weight, and then he got really sick back in February. We didn't have confidence until
he
got really sick.
Does he eat flour or sugar?
That's how his father passed away. Diabetes and sugar is his thing. That's his problem.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing him being a chemical addictive person and you being a chemical addictive on this occasion, but you've got a memory bank of 3 years ago. I think both of you need to sober up. He knows that he's going through a bad time and he told you about it. I'm asking you if you would please assume responsibility for your half of the oversensitivity and the anger you're having at him being the whole problem. He's not the whole problem. He's half of the problem, and so are you, and you both sound like drunks. His may be sugar and flour, but yours definitely sounds alcohol.
Well, something that I didn't mention, Dr. Pat Allen, is that I had, it's not like the last time that I drank was 3 years ago. I do drink with friends socially and like every other week by that. So it's not something that I feel I'm allergic to. It's just I didn't have food in my stomach. And
honey,
that was a really bad
I'm going to say it. I want you to do, you're doing the same thing to me. I'm saying I didn't say empty stomach and you are jumping on that as a way to not put the whole package together. I believe that both of you have been chemically modified in this past week or two based on inherited characteristics. And his was with sugar and whatever, flour, and yours was with alcohol. He's admitted he's not himself. You've told me you understand that you had an empty stomach and booze, but you won't give him the empathy to assume 50% of your responsibility.
I want to call him, and I will. I will take responsibility. I know that that wasn't okay. I'm not proud of it. That's why I'm calling. I am ashamed.
I know
that
but
happened.
I want you to call him and say that you appreciate that he called you and told you his changes and feeling ill and that he ate wrong And you saying, well, don't feel bad. I did the same thing with booze. On an empty stomach, I drank alcohol that changed my temperament. And I've been told that we both were on a drunk. And you've said you know that you changed and you know that you don't like what you said. But you won't say it. You're blaming him for the whole thing. And I don't hear it.
But Dr. Pat Allen, is it normal for someone to just not talk to you for like a week or two every time that they get upset? Because that's what I was trying to explain back in February when he got sick.
I've got news for you.
He also shut down for another week.
I give every human being 8 weeks to come back when they've been upset. Because if they came back early, they are too nasty. You people have had too much contact when you're both sobering up.
I guess that's what I'm truly hurt about.
Honey, what you're hurt about...
The fact that he withdraws.
I want you to know I'm helping you build a bridge to him unless you're done with him. Are you done with him?
Honestly, the last week I was almost thinking, like, should I be in this relationship if every time a conflict comes up he doesn't communicate to me?
I've got news for you. He does because you keep coming back together. I'm wanting to help you come back together because I hear you both had a chemical slip with food and booze. That's what I hear.
If this becomes a pattern, though, where
it becomes a pattern. Do yourself a favor and read the book From the First Bite by Kay Shepherd. It's about food and sugar, but it fits food for him and booze for you. I'm only sharing with you with what I know. And I know you're not getting it because you're still saying he's responsible, he's sick, I'm not bad, and I didn't do anything that caused him to leave. Well, I hate to say it, but he left, at least for now. Do you want him back or are you done with him?
I'm not done with him, but I also fear that I'm not trusting myself to be safe because of the fact that every time that I've been in a bad relationship, someone just withdraws for weeks.
I got news for you. I would love to know how many of those times included booze. I would love.
None.
Remember, none.
No, Dr. Padawan, that's not a pattern with me. That's what I'm trying to say. I do drink with
friends.
I'm
talking about a pattern with him.
This is the first time. That's why I'm telling you. It was a very bad, imperfect moment where it was just something I never would have expected to happen. He's never seen me this way.
Okay. I don't think you're getting what I'm saying, but I said it and I feel good about saying it. So do what you've got to do. But it's my professional opinion that your body, the body reacted to the booze and you're mad, 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 which is what booze does to women. Booze and sugar make men weepy, sad, depressed, angry, feeling-centered.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do your half, please do what I said. If you don't, then he's got 8 weeks to come back on his own in my world, and he has only done a week or two now.
Okay. That's
all right.
Good. Thank you, Dr. Pat Allen. I appreciate it. Thank you for your patience.
All right. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, our switchboard's going to get us another call.
Okay.
And I want to remind everybody to reach out, get information on our groups. It's email to info@drpatallen.com. And if you go to drpatallen.com, you can sign up for our newsletter so you know what is up and coming. Caller, we want to talk to you, not your voicemail. So if you got in your queue, answer your phone. Okay. So he's going to try to get us another caller that picks up. info@drpatallen.com is the place to go to find out about groups. Hello, caller. You're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi. Yes, I do.
What is your question?
I called last week and you helped me construct a high bilater to break up with the person who had been dating me. And when I sent it to him, he called me and sort of talked me out of ending things. And so
that's the high part of bi. The letter is okay. An overview of the relationship with the possibility of hi, I'm coming back, or bi, I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He came forward and he tried to come back. So what happened?
So I accepted it. He said, I mean, there were things that are seemingly minor and things that mean a little bit more to me, but he said that he would work on them and that it's not worth ending things.
How old is he?
38.
38?
Mm-hmm.
So he's a young man, and so he's talking to you logically. From a point of view, it's not whatever you did and whatever he did and whatever happened isn't worth splitting over.
That's what I'm struggling with. So I just
in what way?
Yeah.
Did you hear the last caller?
Yes, I did.
Did you hear the anger?
Yes, I did.
Now I'm going to listen to see if you're angry.
No, I'm not angry. It's really been a relationship, not even 1 month. I feel a little smothered. And that I'm not sure if I like him, but he seems to be way more serious than I am. And I wanted to end it so I don't hurt his feelings.
I want you to know that it's in your best interest that he loves you more than you love him.
Okay.
What has he done that's causing you to want to go away?
He hasn't done anything. He treats me very well, but my concern is that we're not compatible. Like,
in what area?
Maybe I find him to be a little rough around the edges and it embarrasses me in public.
What?
I feel a little embarrassed in public by the way he dresses. He's a little not as cultured as I would like, so I feel...
So what you're saying is he's not compatible with your social standards.
Yes, that exactly.
Is it a deal breaker? What are his positive attributes?
He treats me very well. Very well.
So and, how long have you dated him?
For 1 month.
Would you possibly give him 6 months for you to make a... Do you know my tools?
Yeah.
Could you respectfully offer him your services to keep you?
I don't know what that means.
What that means is that periodically that you say, I have something to say. First of all, you make the appointment with him. I want to talk to you about basically an issue of things that turn me off and turn me on.
Okay.
Are you willing to take the time to listen to them? What would he say, knowing who he is?
He would say yes.
Okay. On a piece of paper, you would write down the situations that you can't stay with, which you have a right not to stay, but I'm giving you the directions using my tools. If he says yes, go ahead. Is now convenient, or when would be convenient? Now's convenient. I am really turned off when you, and then list them. He may want to have your information to make a choice of either dumping you or cleaning up his act. Do you want to give him a chance to keep you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And are you willing to use my tools to respectfully submit it, your discomfort, because it's turning you off? Have you ever read Five Languages of Love?
No, I've taken the quiz, but I haven't read the book.
You've taken the course, but you haven't read the book?
Yeah.
The Five Languages of Love is a wonderful book about some people like words, some people like gifts, some people like service. I'm looking at the book by Gary Chapman, New York Times bestseller. I'm hearing that you are turned off by his dress code. Do you know how many men in America would be divorced by women that don't like their dress code?
Yes.
Got it?
Most imagine.
So would you please either review your class or read the book or just do what I'm saying, which is make an appointment to share the list of things and continue to do it. And once a month or once a week or sometime, get permission to, in fact, you know, see if he will cherish your feelings enough to use your language of love.
Okay.
Now I want to ask you about mom and dad. Who ran your home when you were little?
Mom did.
Did she do it openly or like you're tempted to do, secretly?
No, she did it openly.
Oh, did she do it disrespectfully or respectfully like I taught you?
That's a good question. She was, I don't know how to characterize it.
Did your dad obey her request?
No. I think they had an understanding that he would stay as long as she didn't bug him. So she just took care of everything.
But I'm telling you, you decided not to bug him, and that's called rejection.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
I'm asking you to use my respectful tool, make an appointment for the subject, admit that it's sensitive, but you're only dating him 1 month.
Yeah.
It's early, and I have no problem with him saying, nope, I'm going to wear what I want, and that's the end of that. And you'll say, bye. Yeah.
He already told me after I sent him the hi bye letter that he was okay changing his wardrobe, but it's like the other things, you know, like I don't know the boundary between being nitpicky and like
when you lose the man you want because you're picky, you'll learn how to be more accepting. Do you understand? Your mother and dad had an agreement. Never surrender, didn't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they made negative love a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot.
Okay, but that was still painful strokes. Maybe your mother had a taste for pain. That's a good book, too. It's Maria Marcos. A Taste for Pain. Masochism in Women. See, you're feeling the pain of not liking his dress code. I'm giving you a respectful tool, and I'm supporting him if he doesn't want to change, but I'm supporting you for saying you have the right to choose against me. But that makes it his problem.
Right. I get it. I totally get it.
So,
perfect. We are out of time. Dr. Allen, what do you have to say before we go?
The only way out of a negative feeling is a positive decision. What do I want that I don't have? What do I have that I don't want? And what do I have to do or stop doing to get it?
Amen. Take care, everyone. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.